Right.
Morena, the first reading is from Acts chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Jesus taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te waru ki te hahi." The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 7, beginning 17, beginning at the first verse. Praise. Ki te atua. This passage tells of the close fellowship of Jesus with his disciples. Jesus prays for himself. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Jesus prays for his disciples. "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rongo pai tēnei a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe me tia ia a te kupa mana.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for all your lovely singing before. I've had a cold all weekend, and so I'm feeling a little like a pony at the moment, which, if you don't know, is a little horse. Some of you obviously need more dad jokes in your life. All right, so we're in that post-Easter time. I love all the readings that we've had over the last few weeks. It's just a really exciting time, and some of the stories that come out of this time are just amazing. And one of those, of course, is that Jesus gives the church the Great Commission to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that Jesus has taught us. And I'm a little bit like Patria, I guess. I'd be like, all right, cool, let's go. I'm kind of a quick start in that regard. But Jesus is like, whoa, calm your jets. Just wait. Wait and pray. Now, our concept of waiting is usually, as Patria alluded to a little bit before, is usually it's a bit frustrating, right? It's like you're just sitting on your hands waiting for God to do something, and while you're waiting for God to do something, you're like, I don't know, what are we doing? But biblical waiting is proactive and it is expectant. It believes that God is working something out and that we are part of it and that we can take part in it as we wait proactively and expectantly in prayer. So it's not just killing time, it's waiting proactively and expectantly. And sometimes in that time, like, we think we kind of know what the mission is, and we kind of think we know what the job is, and then we're just going to get on with it. But often there's something that needs to be formed in us in that time, prayerfully, even as we're praying for other things. I'll give you a little clue. In that Acts reading, you know, Jesus says, wait here for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and all the disciples go, cool. This is the time that you're going to, like, replace the kingdom of Israel, or restore the kingdom of Israel, or whatever it is. So they still don't quite get it. You know, this is the whole thing before about, you know, Palm Sunday and all the rest of that, all that lead up, that they think he's a king who's going to come and militarily restore the kingdom of Israel. But God's got a bigger plan, doesn't he? And so Jesus just says, just cool your jets, wait, and pray. And as they do in that time, there's that 10 days of waiting and praying between Ascension and Pentecost, where you can just see that God is shaping his church. And when his church is ready, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit is poured out, empowered to be God's witnesses in the world, to fulfill that calling of the Great Commission, to go out and to share the good news about Jesus Christ. But there's a time waiting, isn't there? And so, traditionally speaking, ever since that time, the church has always set aside 10 days for waiting and praying between Ascension and Pentecost. Like, it's just a really traditional thing that the church has always done. It kind of got a little bit lost, I think, in the 20th century. These traditions sometimes do. But in the last, I think it's the last 15 years, there's been a real move of the church, interdenominationally, the church worldwide, back into acknowledging this 10 days between Ascension and Pentecost as a time for us to wait upon God proactively and expectantly, to pray into this time. And in prayer, God shapes us individually, God shapes us as a church, and God is at work in the world, shaping and molding the world around us so that when we go, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses in the world, and the world has been shaped in a way that it can hear and receive the gospel. And so what is done, the witnessing that is done in the power of the Holy Spirit, done in God's strength, not our own. So what we have around us today, or what we wanted to do today across all three of our churches, St. Michael's is doing this, St. Andrew's is doing this, and I just think it's awesome, like, that across our whole parish we are praying today. And it's part of this next, you know, 10 days, of course. But we're praying today, and what I wanted to do here at St. Luke's is that I wanted us to engage in lots of different ways of praying. So already you might have noticed that we've engaged in some different ways of praying that reflect different streams of our Christian tradition. So to some of you who have been in like sort of Pentecostal or charismatic churches, you would have noticed at the end of that opening song kind of thing, we just had a little bit of time, we just allowed a bit of music, and we allowed a little bit of time to bring our praise and thanksgiving to God, acknowledging who God is. And that's a great place to start in prayer. And that kind of comes from a more charismatic tradition, right? Well, what we've got, then we had confession, which of course is a long-standing tradition in the Christian church. But what we've got around you today in the church that I'm going to get you to engage with for the next 15 minutes after I stop talking, let my words be few, God, let my words be few, is I'm going to get you to engage in some different stations around the church. So if you would like to engage in a fairly liturgical form of prayer, it just so happens that we have a bunch of prayer books at the front, and I'm going to invite you to come to the front with me, and we're going to pray the liturgical form of intercession that we would usually use from the 404 liturgy in our prayer book. So if that sounds like a bit of you, come on up. That sounds awesome. In the back right-hand corner, my right, stage right, is a tese setup to pray for individuals. One of the things about this time and thy kingdom come is to pray for five people known to you by name to come to know Jesus. And so in that corner over there, there's the opportunity for you to name those people, to pray for those people, that God would be kind of enlightening their lives as well, wherever they are right now, that God would be moving in their lives, and that we would have the opportunity to bear witness to who God is to them. In that back left-hand corner, stage left, is a map of the world. On our hearts, surely at the moment, are so many places in the world that we just see night after night after night on the news. And we feel helpless often. I feel helpless often just watching it. What can we do? Well, we can pray with hopeful expectation. And we can. And so there's an activity that you can do up there where you can name those places and pray for those places that God would move. Now, if you're not a big mover around in the room, that's fine. You can stay where you are. And what we've got down each side is things that you might like to pray for, reminders of things that you might like to pray for, that you can just pick up some themes and start praying for. If you're like, oh, I don't know what I want to pray for today, there are some themes on each of those along the way. And as you came in the door too, just because we're going to be all creative in our prayer as well, you would have received a heart. Now last week down at St. Michael's, I preached from that reading from Peter where he says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have, but share it with gentleness and respect. And so today there's an opportunity for you to write on a heart. We've got felt pens there, and blue tack. There's an opportunity for you to write on a heart something that you really feel like you would like people to know about God. And then you can take it with that blue tack and you can pin it to the pillars of this church, and that will become part of our witness. We'll just leave them up. We'll leave them up all week, and then when we gather at Pentecost next week, everyone who comes into this place will be reminded of our witness as a church to who God is, because you'll have stuck them on the pillars and they'll be there for people to read. And you never know who's going to sit down next to the pillar that has your heart on it and gets to learn something about God from you. Finally, you might be the sort of person who feels like when they pray they get words or pictures for the church that you might want to share. Well, if you get that, you can also write those down. You can use the hearts for that too. And I'd invite you during our time of prayer or during communion to give them to Patria, and she will just share some of those with us maybe at the end. So if you feel moved like, oh, I really feel like God's saying this to us at the moment, or you might not even really quite know what it is, but you have a picture or an image or a scripture of encouragement for the church, come and give those to Patria, and she'll share those with us at the end of the service. So, do you understand the assignment? You know, what I did love, and it's easy to laugh at the early churches in it and go, oh, they still didn't get it. But what I love is, even though they didn't get it, they were obedient to Jesus' call to pray. They didn't really understand it. They just thought, oh, yay, the kingdom of Israel is going to be restored. But they were obedient to the call, and they prayed. So I think for the next 15 minutes as a church, keeping in mind that St. Michael's is doing the same thing, St. Andrew's is doing the same thing. People around the world in this period that we call Thy Kingdom Come, Ascension to Pentecost, are doing the same thing today. That we as a church for the next 15 minutes might wait and pray with expectant hearts. Does that sound cool? Awesome. There'll be a little bit of Teze music playing, so I'm going to give you 2 minutes. I'm doing the liturgical one at the back, Teze, social justice, pray for the world, all sorts of things along the side, creative hearts, words from God. You've got lots of options, and go.